So I just finished a book on Saturday. It was one of those you're just gone in while you are reading it. I think my family's actually glad it's over. But the problem is I'm going on vacation next week and I already binged my beach read. I think I may not be alone. It's August. We've got a few more weeks of summer left to enjoy. What to read? I need a new one, and I bet you've got some recommendations. So we thought we'd take some time today to talk about that. What are you reading? What do you recommend to others? What can we recommend to you? What are you still hoping to get to? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or for your Twitterers out there, tweet us at Radio Boston with some suggestions. We've got a couple of great people to help us with this. Jennifer DeLeon, she's the author. She is an author and editor of Wise Latinas. And Rachel Cass, head buyer for the Harvard Bookstore in Cambridge. Jennifer, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Rachel, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Jennifer, before we dive into some specific books, I'm going to ask you, what kinds of books do you like to read, especially in the summertime?
Oh, it's such a great question. I love being immersed in memoir or a long novel, something that just kind of absorbs me. Like you were saying, you just want to take a deep dive into a good story. So those are the kinds that I gravitate towards.
And Rachel, same for you, memoir, long novel, or do you like something different in the summer?
I love a long novel in the summer. I try and use the summer to catch up on things I haven't had time to read during busier parts of the year. So I do find myself reading nonfiction and all sorts of other things. But a big, juicy, meaty literary novel is sort of my favorite thing to read on vacation.
All right. So we all like, because, you know, I like the big ones in the summertime, too, where it feels like you got a little more room to stretch out and read. Jennifer, we're going to do lists in a minute. But I did notice you said you like memoirs. Three of the books on your list are memoirs. What is it about a memoir that you love and that you particularly love in these warm, sort of leisurely or more leisurely, hopefully, summer months?
Right. I mean, again, it's like what you said, there's a little bit more time to stretch. And, you know, I just came back from a week on the Cape and I had long conversations. I was able to tell stories, listen to stories. It just feels like there's more room in your heart and in your head. And so memoirs are true stories, but I think the best memoirs read like novels, actually. And so you kind of get two for one. And I love learning about people's lives and feeling like I have a front row seat to their secrets and all of their vulnerabilities, but also the humor. So that's always why I've been drawn to memoir.
Okay, I'm going to turn to the phones in a minute, but let me just put the number out. Call us with your recommendations. What types of books do you like to read in the summer? What are you reading now? What do you set off for that next long read? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK or tweet us at Radio Boston. Rachel, you're a bookstore buyer. And I mean, everything, it feels like, has changed in the last 18 months or so. Is what people want to read changing as well?
Absolutely. We saw a lot of changes in what people were buying over the course of 2020 and into 2021. Now we're halfway done with 2021 already. Last summer, when we reopened after being closed, was right at the moment where the Black Lives Matter protests were really capturing the news cycle. And we saw a lot of people trying to read up on those issues. And we're seeing that continue into this summer. We've also seen a lot of self-care happening, and it was an extremely challenging year, and it continues to be sort of very challenging to exist in the world right now. So we're seeing a lot of sort of escapist fiction. We've actually been seeing adult coloring books make a comeback a little bit. And clearly people sort of trying to take a break from everything that's happening in the world. So we're sort of seeing both ends of that.
All right, I think we're going to start some lists and suggestions now, and I'll go to the phones to kick us off, 800-423-8255. We've got Susan on the line in Leominster. Susan, what you got for us?
Hi. Yes. I read one book by Mr. Chris Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R. It's the one, Permission to Dream. It's the one that they made the movie with Will Smith and his son, and I have his other book that I'm reading. It's lessons on how to go from people that are homeless or, you know, losing jobs, and how to go from there, moving forward to a better life. And that one
all
is
right.
Start from where you are.
Great. Thank you, Susan. I appreciate that. Let's get another person here. We've got Cynthia. Cynthia, you are on the road calling from your car, yes?
I am, yes, indeed.
So hopefully you're not reading right this second, Cynthia, but what are you reading when you're not in the car?
Well, currently I'm reading Kim Stanley Robinson's current book, The Ministry for the Future. It's a science fiction novel, but it's scary as all get out because it seems pretty prescient, but at the same time, it's also very hopeful. So I'm looking forward to an ending that maybe points in a good direction.
All right, we'll keep our fingers crossed for that. Cynthia, Jennifer, give us one from your list.
A novel that just debuted last week, or that was just launched, is called The President and the Frog by Carolina de Robertis. And she's a very accomplished novelist. And this one is, it's incredible. It's a story about the poorest president in the world, in South America. And he's being interviewed by a journalist in his garden at home. And it goes back and forth between this interview and then a time he spent in isolation during a dictatorship when all the company he had in the cell was a frog. And he would have these conversations with the frog. And I know it sounds a little like, wow, what is this about? But it's such a gripping read, and it delves into serious topics, but it's also so funny and whimsical. And so it's kind of, I don't know, I think it's a great read for a long weekend where you kind of want both. You want to feel like you're reading something hefty, but you also want to be entertained. And it's just gorgeous.
All right, fabulous. I'm going to come to you in just a second, Rachel, but Dr. Regine Jean-Charles is tweeting at us. This conversation about reading at Radio Boston started with both guests saying a long read is their go-to for the summer. I agree. I've been getting lost in The Old Drift by @Namwalan, which I believe is Namwali Serpell. It is enthralling. So there you go, The Old Drift. How about you, Rachel? Pick one from your list.
The one on my list that's sort of the long, engrossing, century-spanning novel that I'm really loving recommending this summer is called Great Circle by Baggy Shipstead. And it follows a woman who in the 30s and 40s was trying to navigate around the world in an airplane. She was a pilot, and she was attempting to go around the world through both the North and the South Poles. And the novel follows her life and her journey from sort of rural Montana through being a pilot during World War II, through this attempt. And she disappears on this attempt and sort of her legacy throughout the remaining century. And you find out she disappears at the very beginning. I'm not giving anything away. But it's just really engrossing and really, really a lot of fun, and really is about 20th century womanhood and ambition and desire. And I really loved it.
1-800-423-8255 to share book ideas with us. We've got Max on the line in Ipswich. What you reading, Max?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So I'm calling about my personal favorite book of all time, House of Leaves by Mark Z. Danielewski. Because I've talked to people and none of them seem to know it, but it's got layers of stories within each narrative. And if you want a book that really engages you and requires a bit of effort, I guess, to get into it, I absolutely recommend this book. It's certainly a bit scary, but I wouldn't call it a horror book. And I promise that this is not like any book that you've read before. It is completely unique, designed for the paper reading experience, I guess.
All right. House of Leaves. Thanks for that, Max. Let's pick up Rich, too, in Belmont. Rich, go ahead.
Hi. I love Tana French. She's an Irish-American author. She's written a bunch of books, and several of them are the Dublin Police Squad series. And my favorite is Faithful Place. It's a neighborhood in Dublin, and it goes through a couple of generations of really tough times, little Angela Ashes in the beginning. But all her books are great. And the thing I like most about her is that she writes men from the inside, women from the inside, and teenagers. So she captures them all. She's really fantastic. And I also would recommend her as an audience.
Oops, we lost. Sorry. Thanks for that, Rich. And actually, so that's a great thing to bring back to you, Jennifer, as a writer. Who writes characters, you know, in some way that you just find, oh, so compelling and makes for a great summer read?
Oh, I love this question. I mean, thinking about YA, that's where my brain jumps to as a YA author. My book, Don't Ask Me Where I'm From, it came out a year ago. It just came out in paperback. And so I'm drawn to, you know, the kind of voicey narration in YA. And another novel that I highly recommend is called Your Corner Dark. It's a YA novel set in Jamaica, and it's written by Desmond Hall, a local Boston author. And it follows a 16-year-old teenager named Frankie, and he's struggling to save his father, who's been admitted to the hospital, but all he has is his scholarship to college in the United States to use. And so he takes a big gamble. I won't tell you what happens, but it's a page turner. And I mean, that comes to mind when I think about strong characters. Teenagers often make poor decisions, which make for great conflicts on the page. And I love vulnerable, you know, funny narrators. I'm thinking of a memoir by Calvin Hennick, another local author who wrote a beautiful memoir called Once More to the Rodeo. And it follows his road trip that he took with his son, who at the time was 5. And he drove from Boston to Iowa to Calvin's hometown. And Calvin is white and his son is biracial. And it really raises these questions of how do you raise you know, a son growing into a man? How do you raise a biracial son in the United States? What does that look like? What does that mean? And what does it mean to be a good father? It's just, I think over the long weekend, we spend time with family maybe. And so that's on my mind as well.
So I just want to take a second and note for listeners, we will have the list from Jennifer and Rachel on our website, and we'll try to capture some of these other titles for you as well and put them on our website at radioboston.org. So if you're like me and you're thinking, wait, I'm never going to remember all these, don't worry. We will have them for you on our website. Rachel, I want to come back to you. So we've been talking about all this great long fiction and these deep character builds. I was surprised when Chris Siderick, our producer, asked me what book I wanted to bring or books I wanted to bring to the table. My gut was that I wanted to bring Empire of Pain by Patrick Radden Keefe. We had him on the show. It's a nonfiction book, a devastating look at the Sackler family, their role in the opioid epidemic. And I was just so surprised, but there was a meat to it and a sprawling 100-year history. And also, I felt like I was learning something incredibly important about my own community and the world around me. Can we find these great nonfiction books that still work on the beach? And do you have any? I know you brought a couple of nonfictions on your list.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I sometimes find the summer to be a great time to catch up on things that I maybe didn't have time to read the rest of the year. And yes, I like to be engrossed in a long novel, but I also like to have the time to really think deeply about something that I'm reading. One of the books that I read earlier this summer was How the Word is Passed by Clint Smith, which looks into sort of the ways that we memorialize slavery and the slave trade in the United States. And one of the places that he goes is abroad as well. But each chapter, he goes to a different place that had some connection to the historic slave trade in the United States and looks at what is there now and how we think about it and how we remember it and how we talk about it and how we teach it and maybe how we misremember it. And it's really a personal book because it's sort of a travelogue, and it's a lot of it is about these personal conversations he has with curators and tour guides and fellow travelers, visitors at these places. But he also really digs into the history, and it's sort of a survey of the history of each of those places and that time. So there's really a lot of meat to it, but it is also very lyrical and beautiful and personal. And it was a perfect thing to read during the summer because I felt like I had the time to read it sort of slowly and to think about it and to be reflective about it. So I think the summer is great for that as well.
Let's go back to the phones here, 800-423-8255, to make your recommendations. Or in the case of Danny in Medford, I think ask for a recommendation. That's what you're looking for, right, Danny?
Hi. So much for taking my call, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate this conversation. I was wondering, you know, I have a preschooler at home, and this summer in particular, with so many kids at home, not taking part in as many camps or different programs, you know, I'm looking for different books that are engaging for emergent readers and for kids that are, you know, kind of beyond board books or kind of starting elementary age. So if you guys have any recommendations, I would really appreciate it.
Terrific. Jennifer, do you have thoughts for Danny?
Oh my goodness, so many. I want to give Danny my email because I have so many recommendations. I have a preschooler too. I mean, we always enjoy the Berenstain Bears books, but there's so many that come to mind that I'm blanking on now. But you know what's fun is reading picture books about real topics like current events in the news. But of course, picture books are written geared towards children. So Edwige Dantecut has a beautiful picture book called Mama's Nightingale. And it's about a little girl who writes letters to the newspaper trying to get her mother released from a deportation center in Florida. Her parents are from Haiti. And these are big topics, but they're told in these beautiful stories that are under 800 words. And yet there are opportunities to talk with your kids about these real life issues.
So what we can also try to do is see if we can get contact information for Danny. Maybe you can give us a list, Jennifer, and we can send it on to her offline as well. Rachel, how about you? And both sort of preschool books, but also chapter books that families can read out loud together.
Yeah, my son is six, so we've done a whole lot of reading together this year, especially being home together so much. We have really loved the whole Princess in Black series by Shannon Hale. He's read all of those a million times, or at least it feels that way. They're so much fun. He's also really enjoyed the Ricky Ricotta books this year, which is about a mouse named Ricky Ricotta and his mighty robot. And those have also been a lot of fun, really fun read-alouds. And he's just barely starting to read. So we've looked at some sort of early readers together, too. But those are two series that are great for us.
Okay, let's grab one more call here. I think we've got time for Mitch in Jamaica Plain. Mitch, go ahead briefly.
Yes, I read a biography of George Orwell, so I'm rereading 1984 because of what's happening in Western China, among other places. And for the kids, take along Animal Farm. And the other one is a classic, which is Amos Oz, A Tale of Love and Darkness. And it explains so much about the soul of Israel.
Amos Oz, The Tale of Love and Darkness. All right. Thanks for those recommendations, Mitch. Okay. With our little bit of time left, just one more that you can't bear not to recommend briefly, Jennifer. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. What We Carry by Maya Lang. It is so gripping. It's a memoir. It's a story about her journey being a mother, a young mother, and her own mother's experience with Alzheimer's. And the way Maya writes is gorgeous. It's like your friend is telling you a story. And with each juicy bit, it makes you rethink everything she told you prior to that. So every chapter that I'm reading, it's changing the entire narrative. And it's a quick read too. I think that people can read it in a weekend and you'll feel, you know, like that satisfied feeling after a good story.
Awesome. And Rachel, in just a couple sentences, one more from you.
Yeah, a book that I actually just started reading is Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zauner of Japanese Breakfast. It's a memoir about her mother passing away and sort of her trying to remember her mother, particularly through the food that they made together and that they ate together. Her mother is Korean and her father is American, and sort of hanging on to her Korean identity through the food and through her memories of her mother and the food. And I've only just started it and I'm reading it slowly because it's so beautiful, but it's really lovely and very moving.
What a reading feast. That's Rachel Cass, head buyer for the Harvard Bookstore in Cambridge, and author Jennifer De Leon, editor of Wise Latinas. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.